about when he first started to understand God, the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, I became a Christian when I was younger, and I went to a church which was a little bit like Ipswich. There was a real move of the Holy Spirit going on in South Africa in those days, and people in our church were prophesying, they were speaking in tongues, there were healings going on, people were being set free, people were coming to know Jesus. And these good signs, these amazing things that were happening, I didn't really experience them for myself. Some of my friends my age, they were speaking in tongues, and it wasn't happening for me. And I was completely confident that I was a Christian. I knew that I loved God. I knew what Jesus had done for me on the cross. I completely understood all that. But still, I had this slight inferiority feeling about it. You know, like, as if I wasn't somehow completely, you know, saved or something. You know, I wasn't quite doing what the others were doing. And so I started to read the Bible. I started to read books about the Holy Spirit. And the passage that really unlocked the way the Holy Spirit relates to Jesus and the Father came when I read this passage in John 7. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And it was when I realized that my heart was already full of the Holy Spirit. When I became a Christian, I had already been filled with the Spirit. But what the Spirit wanted to do was become living water flowing out of me like a fountain. You see, the Holy Spirit is mentioned in a metaphorical way quite a lot through the scripture as oil, as something that flows, a bit like fire, a bit like wind. The Holy Spirit moves through us and he empowers us. And, you know, many people have had experiences in church services where they suddenly begin to speak in tongues or they suddenly experience something. For me, it was just an act of faith. I was reading a book in the bath when I decided, I'm full of the Spirit and I'm going to start moving in the power of the Spirit. And it was only weeks later that I started to speak in tongues. But I felt then that I had a complete understanding of who the Holy Spirit was. He is a person. He is one of the Godhead.
Amen. And we're going to think a little bit more together about these verses that we've hopefully got in front of us somewhere now. So I'd love you to be able to cast your eye on them, because how many of you found them as you were trying to read them through a bit kind of confusing? Yeah? Anyone? No one's willing to admit. Yeah? Sammy says he does. Yeah? A little bit kind of confusing, or maybe hard to kind of grasp one concept and say, oh yeah, that's what it's all about. And I think this whole area of the Trinity, it can sometimes confront us a bit like that. And I want to speak for a few minutes about why it is so important for you and me that we worship a Trinitarian God, that we worship a God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that we don't, in our Christian lives, in a way, settle for the little bit that we do know and understand easily. You know, maybe we've been sharing around our tables, well, you know, I'm comfortable with the Jesus concept, I get that, or I'm comfortable with the Holy Spirit, you know, that's the kind of church I grew up in, or I'm comfortable with Father, I understand that, but we don't stick only there, because what Jesus is sharing in these verses is so much more, not just wonderful, but experientially powerful and important for your Christian life. Non-Christians and people from other religions will use to put Christianity down, and they'll think, oh, you know, it doesn't make any sense, because how can you have a God who is three persons and one person? If it's three persons, then it's not one God. If it's three gods, then it's a polytheistic religion. It's not a monotheistic one, and it's not one God. So how can you say that? It's a contradiction. And lots of people have objections about that, particularly Muslims have objections to Christianity from that foundation.
But you see, the heart of it all, when we start to see the heart of it, we start to see that it's not a crazy concept after all. The heart of the Trinity is that our God that we serve and follow and worship is a God of love.
Hallelujah.
And that first and foremost and primarily before anything else in his character, our God is love. It is fundamental and foundational to his very nature, to his very being. And if our God is love, well, you can kind of love yourself, but that's not a very liberating sort of love. Real love, as we know it in our human experience, needs another person and then needs reciprocation. And then when there is a flow of love between two parties, or more than that perhaps, there starts to happen an incredible feeling of togetherness and unity and a bond and a sense of belonging and a connectedness that every human being who is ever born on the face of this planet is crying out for from their very earliest breaths. And that's why the problems in our world all really come down to the fact that we don't know how to love one another properly. And we destroy those bonds, that connection, that flow, that reciprocation of love from one to another. But our God exists in that way. He always has done. Roger always likes to say, our God, if he is love, he's got to be at least two persons, if not better, three. Because you need somebody else to love if you're going to be love. You need an object to love. And God himself, within the Godhead, there is three persons, Father, Son, and Spirit, who exist in a loving relationship. And this is beautiful and harmonious. And do you know what? This is the only hope for our broken world. A mono God who is just one thing cannot solve the problems of the universe, the problems of humanity at loggerheads all the time with one another. Because a single God who doesn't have to ever work in communion with somebody else, well, he hasn't got the answers, has he? That's what we're struggling with here on the earth. He'd struggle too. He'd either have to force everyone to do what he wanted or whatever. Love engenders cooperation and collaboration and reciprocation and all those things that we do understand when we think about it. Love brings together separate people into unity. And it's that that our hearts are so often crying out for. And sometimes, even in our Christian lives, we haven't quite entered in to this truth about who God is, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We haven't stepped right into the heart of it. And that's why, for some of us, we always feel just a little bit on the outside. A bit like Walter was saying, he felt before he understood the fullness of the Holy Spirit, he was always feeling a bit like, am I even really saved? Maybe some of us here struggle with those feelings at times. I was thinking, I had a friend when I was at university, and he had a family dog. Now, I'm a big fan of dogs. I know some of you may not be, but this one was even particularly cute. It was a big sort of crossbreed of some sort, but it was big and shaggy and jumped all over everybody all the time. And it was obviously a particularly needy dog, a bit like ours, but ours doesn't do this. But in the household, its owners, you know, my friend's parents, if they ever kind of came in, you know, greeted each other with a hug, if they came in and hugged each other in the presence of the dog would go absolutely crazy, and it would like run, and it would burrow its head in between where they were standing holding on to one another. It would burrow its head in like this, and then it would push up like that in between the two bodies. I wish I could demonstrate. I tried to find pictures and things on the internet, but nobody else's dog apparently does this in the same way. And once it had got its head into the embrace, it would then jump up, okay, so that it forced its way and its head was here between the two human heads, and so that they had to kind of just hold on to it. And honestly, every time I watched it, they used to kind of do it as a party trick for people when you went round to the house. I went round and my friend would be like, mum and dad, have a hug, have a hug. And they'd come and they'd do this, and the dog would be like, and he'd get right on in there and he'd scrabble up them until they held on to him and he was at the heart of that embrace. And I was thinking about that picture because, you know, it's a bit what God is inviting us into. There's this beautiful embrace going on, Father and Son and Spirit. And Jesus is saying, you don't even have to force your way in there. He's opening up the way in these verses, in these passages that we've just read. He's opening up the way for us to step inside the love of the Godhead and be at home and in the very middle of it and be held right at the heart of that love. You know, Philip, in these verses, was voicing that feeling of being orphaned. Jesus uses the word, I don't want to leave you as orphans. And Philip says, show us the Father, Jesus. We just don't feel we've really got there yet. We haven't fully understood. They're groping and grasping to feel that security, that sense of belonging, that sense of being part of who God is. And Jesus says, you know what? I'm flinging wide the door of this beautiful relationship that the Godhead enjoys, the three in one and one in three. And you can step right inside and be a part of it. And I don't know about you, but I think that is amazing, amazing news. Because every soul needs to be anchored in the very heart of the Trinity. We need to know there is a Father who loves us and who we belong to. We need to know there is a Son who saves us and opens up the way into the heart of God. We need to know there is a Spirit who fills us and flows through us so that we don't just dry up on a bad day, but that we continue day in and day out our whole lives long, living in the flow and the experience of that love, bit by bit by bit. We need all of those working together so we can step inside and know our place, know our belonging, know that we're not abandoned orphans. No one is. You're all invited in. And when Jesus was sharing these verses, and they sound a bit confusing, it's because what he's describing is this continual circle of love that you can now step inside and experience. So I want to do my scientific experiment to finish off. Are you ready? So what I need is probably Val to do her bit. And if there are any younger people who want to see the scientific experiment that's going to happen here, just going to make sure there's no sesame seeds, then you might want to gather somewhere here. No one wants to see. Right, fine. The adults can see. And this is hopefully going to describe. Now, we talked about how some people find it a bit confusing to think, how can God be three people, but one person, but three people, three in one, one in three? And I thought, what better way to describe this and to convince you that it's not a crazy concept, it makes utter sense, than by making a cup of tea. So Val, perhaps you will stand as my lovely assistant so that the hot water is in a safe place for a minute or two. So here we have my utensils to make a cup of tea. What do we have here? Yes, Esther. A tea bag. And now what? There is a bag, obviously, in a tea bag. What else? What is inside the bag? Yes, Esther. Tea leaves, exactly. Or as Joe would say, tea chaff or dross. He says British tea apparently is just like the chaffy bits on the edge. It's not the real leaves. They save that for all the real tea drinkers in Asia. And we over in the West, we get the sort of dregs. Is that true? That's what I'm told. That's why we have to put milk in it to take away the horrible bitter taste, because real tea leaves taste much better. But anyway, this is Joe's ideas. Nothing to do with what I'm going to say. So here is a tea bag, and here inside it is some tea. So how many things do we have there? A bag? One. And tea leaves? Two. Okay. So let's put that here. Now, would you like to add the third element, Val, which is the water? Ooh. That will do. Thank you. That's perfect. And actually, we don't need any more water. That's perfect. Yeah. Now, what has happened here in this? Yes, Cody. What's happened in the water? It's gone brown. Okay, and why do you think it's gone brown? What element in this bowl has made the water go brown? Yeah. The tea leaves, exactly. And so what have we got here? If this was in a nice cup, what is the whole thing here? Yes. Yeah, it's a nice cup of tea to drink. Well, it would be if it was in a nice mug or something like that. So here I have one thing, tea. But distinctly visible in here are three elements to that tea. Some water, a bag, and some tea leaves, no? Yes? Yeah. But still, what has happened? Now they've all been mixed together. They have just become tea. We just call this tea. We don't say it's water, bag and leaves. This is just tea. The three things have become inextricably mixed together. And even more exciting than that, as we read our passage, I'm going to read you some verses. Jesus must have had, I think, a cup of tea in mind when he was saying this. Listen to this. Jesus said, I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. The tea is in the tea bag, and the tea is in the water, and the bag is in the water, and the bag now is in the tea. The water's in the bag, and the bag is in the water. It doesn't matter how many ways around you say it, it's true, isn't it? Because the water went inside the bag, mixed up with the tea, brought the tea out through the bag into the water, and now the whole thing is in each other. And that's what Jesus is saying. I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, the Spirit of Truth. He abides with you and will be in you. And in that day you will know that I am in my Father and you in me and I in you. And Jesus is inviting us. He's saying, look, we're all mixed up together, Father, Son and Spirit. And you, little separate tea bag that you are, you can come and you can be in the Father. And in the Son, and in the Spirit, because you just have to jump into that bowl, and you're mixed up too with this beautiful, harmonious relationship that God is. And he wants all of us to jump in the bowl and be filled with his Spirit. And when you're full of the Spirit, you're full of Jesus. And when you're full of Jesus and conformed to the image of God's Son, you are full of the Father. We have all three working and living, not only around our lives, but inside too. Isn't that an amazing promise? Isn't that an amazing invitation? And it's not too crazy. It might be complicated to explain, but we understand it every day. When we get up in the morning, we put our tea bag in our cup, we pour the water on, and nobody says, I'm just going to have my nice cup of bag, water and leaves. No one says that. I'm just going to drink my tea and enjoy the harmony of that relationship. I know what it's made up of, but I'm going to enjoy the harmony and let it become part of me. So I want to just pray for us this afternoon as we move on. Thanks. Because maybe there are some of us here who've been feeling a bit kind of out of the bowl and a bit disconnected. Perhaps we feel we've got partial concepts of God in our minds, but we haven't stepped into all that fullness. And I just want to pray for us. Because Jesus says in this passage that we live in that place by love and keeping hold of God's word in our lives. So let's pray. Lord, thank you that you invite us into the embrace of the Trinity. And thank you that when we live there, we feel whole. We belong. We're no longer orphans. We're not cut off. And I pray for anyone here this afternoon who has been feeling that way. Lord, I pray that even now the embrace of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit would just surround each and every life in this room. And more than surrounding us, Lord, enter in. Fill us in our deepest places inside, Lord Jesus, so that you can spill out of us to all those that we meet. Help us, Lord, to hang on to the way of love in our lives, to hang on to the truth of your word, because that will keep us in the embrace of the Godhead. And we need to live there, Lord, because the world needs a message of harmony. So help us to find it in our own lives so that we can express it to those around us, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.